Good morning.
Good
to see you in the house of the Lord, whether that be here in person or also online. Do you know how much God loves you? Are we able to fully grasp how much He does? If we were able to grasp how much He loves us, how would that impact your day-to-day life? Well, and upon an examination of our lives, wouldn't we have to say that we probably don't fully grasp how much God loves us? But that should not stop us from asking God to help us to understand and grasp how much He does. And that is our primary focus in our worship this morning. God be praised for His amazing love for you. Let's turn our attention to the invocation. It's found on page 3. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits.
We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please stand. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. praise his holy name.
Who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases.
Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us.
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In his great mercy, God made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through his called servant. I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name.
As far as the east is from the west, so far as you remove our transgressions from us.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you. Hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return. Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen.
Please be seated.
On the second Sunday after the Epiphany of our Lord, a reading from Holy Scripture, Exodus chapter 7. The Lord does know how to get people's attention. That doesn't mean, though, that people always listen. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is unyielding. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning as he goes out to the river. Confront him on the bank of the Nile, and take in your hand the staff that was changed into a snake. Then say to him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to say to you, Let my people go, so that they may worship me in the wilderness. But until now you have not listened. This is what the Lord says. By this you will know that I am the Lord. With the staff that is in my hand, I will strike the water of the Nile, and it will be changed into blood. The fish in the Nile will die, and the river will stink. The Egyptians will not be able to drink its water. The Lord said to Moses, Tell Aaron, take your staff and stretch out your hand over the waters of Egypt, over the streams and canals, over the ponds and all the reservoirs, and they will turn to blood. Blood will be everywhere in Egypt, even in vessels of wood and stone. Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord had commanded. He raised his staff in the presence of Pharaoh and his officials and struck the water of the Nile, and all the water was changed into blood. The fish in the Nile died, and the river smelled so bad that the Egyptians could not drink its water. Blood was everywhere in Egypt. But the Egyptian magicians did the same things by their secret arts, and Pharaoh's heart became hard. He would not listen to Moses and Aaron, just as the Lord had said. Instead, he turned and went into his palace and did not take even this to heart. And all the Egyptians dug along the Nile to get drinking water because they could not drink the water of the river. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We join in our psalm for today, Psalm 78.
Thank you.
An encouraging piece of advice. Let us not underestimate what the Lord God can do. A reading from Holy Scripture, Ephesians 3. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. John, the second chapter. Confidence in Jesus is not misplaced. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord.
Please be seated as we continue with our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in great abundance, and this from God our Father, through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who indeed has appeared among us. The proof is overwhelming. We focus on these words of our second reading from Ephesians 3. We hear once again, "And I, that is the Apostle Paul, pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, are you in need of some good news? Would you like to hear some? "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me," like you. "We once were lost, but now am found. We're blind, but now we see." What kind of emotion do these words, whether spoken or sung, bring about in you? Have we become numb to God's love for us, that it doesn't even seem amazing to us anymore? Maybe it never did. Has our faith become stunted to the point that we're just going through the motions of believing? The heart is not really in it when it comes to worship and day-to-day living for God. Well, what the Apostle Paul, what he wanted for the new Christians and even the veteran Christians of his day is the same thing that he wants for Christians of all time, and that includes you and me. For there is not a time on this side of heaven that our faith will ever be sharp enough or won't have room to grow. There will always be room for growth and fine-tuning. And so the Apostle Paul's prayer is fitting then and now. And that prayer basically says, grasp how much God loves you. Grasp what God has done for you out of love. And also grasp what God's love moves you to do. The Lord has promised good to us. His word, our hope secures. He will our shield and portion be as long as life endures. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being that you have totally grasped this love, this truth, where would you put your faith at? Hold on to that thought as we continue to meditate upon these words. Why would God, our Creator, the founder of this world, of all creation, and what it is able to produce year after year without human intervention, why would he serve as our shield, as well as promise good to us? What have you and I or anyone else done to deserve such from this God? The answer? Absolutely nothing. We're not capable in and of ourselves. As Scripture reminds us, we are conceived and born dead in our sins. We don't have a relationship with God, a loving relationship. Oh, He loves us, but we don't love Him in and of ourselves. And then in our thoughts, and in our words, and in our actions, way too often, even once, is evidence that we are not deserving of God's great love toward us. Our society is proving more and more that left to ourselves, we are a lawless people, eager to do evil. Nothing new, really, as we examine history. But given our current time, crime is on the rise with the change of laws, making it more appealing to get away with it. And we've hand-tied those who have been hired to protect us from crime. Hatred. Well, that's not going away anytime soon, and it's not getting less. In fact, it's getting more intense as people like to stir the pot because they like to cause a crisis and then not have that crisis go to waste for their own benefit. If we did not have Jesus in us, if we did not, by the power of the Holy Spirit, daily drown our sinful nature, what would your life be like? What kind of decisions would you make day in and day out? Thus, Jesus tells us very plainly how important it is for us to take this plank out of our own eye before we start attempting to take the speck and the planks out of the eyes of others. So we are not the reason why God loves us in and of ourselves. God's love toward us starts with Him and flows from Him. And at the heart of that love, at the root of it, is Jesus. And what did Jesus do out of love? God the Father's love for us, His own love for us. Well, we know what He did. He left His throne above, humbled Himself for a time to be under the curse of the law as we are under that curse of the law. And yet, as God still was able to keep the law, which we are unable to do, and then took that perfect self to the cross, where He died, as we know, not for any of His own sins, but for each and every one of our sins, in thought, word, and deed, so that we would no longer be at odds with God, our Creator, but rather that we would be able to be brought into God's family for time and eternity, so that we could have that status of forgiveness and what comes with that, peace of heart and mind. And with that peace of heart and mind, then also comes a proper desire and attitude to live a life that is pleasing to God and that will benefit all humankind. That's what we're here for. To glorify God, and in so doing, also be a benefit to others. That's the role of the commandments, to guide us in such a life. But it all begins with God's love, clearly shown to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, this redemptive action on the part of Jesus has become our very own through the work of the Holy Spirit, who uses the means of grace, the gospel, in word and in sacrament, baptism, to bring us into faith, or if already in faith, to strengthen us in the faith, and the Lord's Supper to strengthen us in our faith and in our unity with fellow believers. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who is credited with converting us from unbelief to belief, from being away from God to being now with God. And now with God, the Holy Spirit also strengthens us empowers us, enlightens us, helps us stay connected. The problem is not with the Word or the work of the Holy Spirit. Where does the problem lie when people are not connected? It's with them. Just like with Pharaoh. He had all the evidence he needed, but he hardened his heart to the point God hardened it. And that happens still too often today, where people harden their heart to God's word to the point God hardens it. But we don't know who they are per se. And because of that, we continue to witness to all people the love of God, the love God has for each and every human being. We take every opportunity we can to proclaim the Word of God so that the Holy Spirit has opportunity to convert, enlighten, empower, connect, and keep people connected to God and His love. And that matters, because what does that connection to God move us to do? Not only does it enable us to grasp the love of God that He has for us, at least to a better degree, because we'll never fully grasp it in this side of heaven, but it also then motivates us, moves us to put this love into action by worshiping Him like we're doing, following the third commandment, not despising the preaching and hearing of His word, but coming together to gladly hear and learn it, to grasp more and more the love that God has for us and what that empowers us to do, taking His means of grace seriously. That's worship. That's what God's love enables us to do. Together with then day to day, letting His light shine through us, He has called us and equips us to be His salt and light. Recall His Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. Take some time to reread those chapters yet once again, where He clearly indicates the difference between a child of the light and the child who is not in the light. That's what God's love enables us to do and to be. And so again, the problem is not with Him and what He puts before us. It still lies with that sinful nature which needs to be drowned and our listening. A reminder of what He's given to us. Dear friends, this is from 1 John. Let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. He has given us of His Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because He first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command: Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Can it get any clearer than that, on what love is, where it comes from, what it enables us to do? God, help us grasp the love that God has for us. What He's done out of love for us, and what He wants us to do out of love for Him and for one another. And as we continue to work on grasping that love of God, that also then enables us and moves us to trust Him, as the Apostle Paul said. The trust that He is with us always, that He keeps His promises. To not underestimate what the Lord God is capable of doing. And so pray to Him on all occasions. Pray that we may be able to grasp His love more and more for us and in our lives. Pray to Him, asking Him to open up His plans for us so that we can put those plans into practice. And where does He direct us upon such requests of Him? Right back to His Word, where He reminds us of His love and what He's done so that we can grasp that love. And also His plans are clearly laid out there, how to glorify Him and live for Him. Love God and your neighbor. Doesn't get any more basic than that. Trust Him on all occasions, especially when life is not going so well. And whether that be as a church or whether that be as an individual or a society, with God, is there any woe on the optimism? Isn't it the glass is at least always half full, if not full with God? But why do we walk around sometimes like the glass is empty? Why do we make statements on woe on the optimism? What kind of God do we serve? We serve a great God who is capable of doing more than we can imagine. And so how do we dare put limits on Him? Where's the problem? Not with Him, Paul says, but with us. And so woe on those who try to limit God's people in grasping the love of God and what He's capable of doing. Oh, the depth of the riches. Of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable His judgments. And His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been His counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from Him and through Him and for Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. And so we say with the hymn writer, through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. 'Tis grace has brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. That, dear friends, is the love of God. Amazing, isn't it? God, help us grasp that love. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us now confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. They're found for us on page 8.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from light, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
We continue with the prayer of the church. We pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for reconciling us to yourself through the sufferings and death of your dear Son. Through him we have confidence to enter into your presence and to bring you our prayers and petitions. Out of the infinite bounty of your goodness, grant us a rich measure of your Spirit. Bestow on the nations of the earth the knowledge of your mercy, that they may turn to you, the only God, and find salvation in you.
Strengthen our faith so that we unfailingly come to you in prayer for all our needs.
Give a special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed aid. O Christ, our true and only light, enlighten those who sit in night. Let those afar now hear your voice, and in your fold with us rejoice. Lord, give us always generous hearts to use what you have given, to spread your gospel near and far and bring people into heaven. Lord, we ask that you would allow David Call to heal from recent surgery and other health complications he is enduring at this time in connection to that surgery. Continue to bring healing to the bodies of Carol Johnson and David Scultetti. Comfort the Gail Verthine family as they mourn the loss of her sister. Be the ongoing source of strength and peace for Melody Carlson as she has entered hospice care during her fight with cancer. Give that strength and peace also to her family. Remind all those who we are praying for, along with ourselves, that you are with your people always, and even during the difficult days we endure here on earth, such does not change what has been accomplished for us and is waiting for us, through and thanks to Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. We thank you, Lord, for those who are able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. Continue to shower them with your blessings. May those among us celebrating a wedding anniversary be renewed in their love for each other, reflecting this in their words and actions. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Accept our prayers and intercessions, and provide for all our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of Jesus our Savior.
Amen.
As we continue with the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power.
By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your will. By his instant death, you will overcome hell. By his rising from the grave, you will overcome death.
Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen.
And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. take and drink the new blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Now may this body which was given for you and this blood which was shed for you strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go and live your life in peace and with joy and with confidence. You are at peace with God. Amen. We pray. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the foretaste of the heavenly banquet that you have given us to eat and to drink in this sacrament. Through this gift you have fed our faith, nourished our hope, and strengthened our love. By your Spirit, help us to live as your holy people until that day when you will receive us as your guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Thank you.
Morning again. Great to see you in the house of the Lord. If you haven't filled out the Connect card, please take the time to do so, and you can return those in the basket there on the table in the entryway, the table with the lamp on it. Appreciate that. And to our guests among us, if you would be willing to fill out the backside as well, appreciate that. Get to know you better. Bible studies taking place today. We're looking at the Ten Commandments here in the main body of the church. Teens will be we'll also be looking at a different study called Hard Sayings of Jesus. And then our Sunday school will be looking at different Bible accounts to help them grow in their knowledge of God's grace and the life of Christ. Just a note, one of the things that's in the weekly news, if you are a Thrivent member, we are sponsoring a Lunch and Learn next Sunday after the late service. If you're not a Thrivent member, but you'd like to learn about what this is about, you're welcome to attend. We just need you to RSVP by Wednesday, if possible. Again, this is not a sales event. Just again, if you are a Thrivent member, you have one of their products. There are great ways to utilize those products to enhance ministry. So again, kind of like with Scrip and other things for non-operating day-to-day. So just see that note in the weekly news, and if that applies to you, let us know. Again, this see the weekly news for the things that are going on here at church and in school. A blessed day and week to each and every one of you. Thank you.